We're going to be in a book called Acts. We've been preaching through the book of Acts this summer. And so if you want, you can turn to Acts. We're going to be in chapter 8, 9, and 10. And you're like, wow, Kurt, that's an aggressive line. Do you think I can preach three chapters today? Acts 8 is going to be a reminder. Pastor Kevin of Casa Vigna preached in Acts 8 and 9 last week. We did a joint service with Casa Vigna, the bilingual church plant that we've been a part of since their launch last fall. It was a wonderful time together. And he told about the story of significant conversion. And so I'm going to remind us a little bit of what he shared, move us to Acts 9 and 10. But here is the big idea for today. God is on the move. God is on the move. What we just saw in real time in this room today is God is moving in people's lives. The longing of my heart is that God would move in my life. God is on the move. God meets us. God speaks to us. He encounters us in ways we actually identify and acknowledge. God met me. And if your faith journey is anything like mine, I have had real encounters where I know it was God, and then I've tried to convince myself otherwise, which means doubt. I've experienced real things in this life that make me think, I don't know that God is alive anymore. There's a real struggle to navigate faith, but what we see in the book of Acts is real God living and moving among people, just like what we're experiencing in the life of our church right now. And I want us to connect that. I want us to see that God is still meeting, God is still serving, God is still reaching, God is still capturing hearts and minds. And as we experience God move, it is for our good. Like, I believe God is the best thing for you revealed in Jesus. Period. Period. Like, no better story, no better eternal anchor for your life and for mine than God himself revealed in Jesus and then filling us with the Holy Spirit. The problem is, we don't just want to say, I believe, and then live disconnected from God. Because what we're talking about here in this story in Acts is that a disciple of Jesus, meaning someone who has said, God, my life is yours, I believe in you, becomes a person who will do the things Jesus does. The heart of God for you is that you would begin to live a life that looks more and more like God every day wherever you go. And we're going to see that in the scriptures. And so it really becomes an issue of participation. Participation, obedience, surrender, letting God lead, and then we move as God moves. We follow as God speaks. We join in God's work, declaring hope to the nations. Just a small story, just a little minor thing. The Creator God who created the heavens and the earth, his heart is to rescue all of humanity to the ends of the earth, and he empowers the church to go be a part of it, which is why we want to be on the campus at Carlston, which is why we want you to show up to work tomorrow encouraged and full of hope, which is why we want you praying with your spouse and your kids at bedtime, which is why we need all of our life captured by the story of God. Okay, let's go. I don't think I need to set it up anymore. Acts 8, 1 through 8, I just want to let you know where we've been. Some of you, you're jumping in the middle of the series, so I want you to know how God is moving. Acts 8, 1 through 8, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Quick side note, if you just think the apostles are the only ones empowered to preach, this tells us otherwise. It says believers were scattered and they preached wherever they went. Do y'all see that? So God is on the move through humans who have surrendered to him. Do y'all catch that? Now here's the other thing. God's doing amazing things in the church, and what is the bad news I just read to you? What's the bad news? Persecution? Imprisonment? People don't like it. There's real opposition. There is a real tension in the faith story, which means you can be fully surrendered to God and be experiencing real pain. You can be burying loved ones, and God still is enthroned on high, and God is with you, and God is moving. We have to acknowledge there is a real tension, which is why we need the full rescue of God. Let's keep going. Acts 9. See, I told you, one chapter. Boom, done. Y'all should go read it. I'm telling you, you've got to go read it. It's so good. Acts 9. Meanwhile, while Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Man, you got to love that. How many of you want to go to work tomorrow, open up your email, and have murderous threats hurled your direction? You don't want to be like biblical characters? Come on. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters from the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, meaning a follower of Jesus, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. In Acts 9, God on the move powerfully confronts Saul and his life is forever changed. He becomes a story of baptism, of conversion. He is walking away from God in the way he's living, full of conviction, as Pastor Kevin shared. And God encounters him and he turns to go a new direction. And he ends up authoring many of the books of the New Testament. How's that work? From murderous threats to the book helping guide us into a relationship with the living God. Only God can do stuff like that. The Creator can create and recreate new life when we surrender to him. So here's what I want y'all to hear. Acts 9, 31. Then the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace and was strengthened. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it increased in numbers. Murderous threats. Then we get a time of peace. A time of strengthening. And there are two qualities that I think matter, and we need to pay attention to these right now if we want to experience the strengthening and encouraging in the midst of the world we live in. It's very clear. Living in the fear of the Lord and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Living in the fear of the Lord, meaning I'm in awe of God. God is in a position of authority over me and my life. That's surrender. Pastor Kevin talked about this last week. And I need the empowering reality of God the Holy Spirit gaining greater access to my life. Fear of the Lord, encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Fear of the Lord, strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Fear of the Lord, God Himself poured into my life. Is the way the church lived then, is the way the church must live now. So how's that going for you? When you wake up on Monday, you just go, man, I fear the Lord. I need encouragement by the Spirit. Let's just start there. Like, let's all wake up tomorrow and just go, I'm in awe of God. It'll reorient the way we live. And you know what, God, I need your encouragement today. Would your promised presence come and get closer to me, not stay at a distance? That's how the church is living. And so we get this interesting moment because, again, we are called to follow Jesus, which is surrender and transformation, which is to do the things Jesus does. So check this out. There's two stories that close Acts 9 that I think are amazing. As Peter traveled, again, God is on the move. The church is being scattered. Peter is traveling. I think we've got a map. We have a map. Ayo. Just Jerusalem, real place on planet Earth. It's real. There you go. You know how I know that? Because there's a map. I've never been, but I've heard about it. It's in the Bible. People have told me they've gone. I think you can find it. We see Lydda, Joppa, and Caesarea. These are real places in the story we're going to hear today. I just want you to have, like, there's a real place, real people, and God is moving from an encounter that happens in Jerusalem among the people of God, among Jews who believed in God, and now they're getting scattered, and now we're moving from a personal encounter to a community encounter. Now he's going for cities, nations, and peoples. Cool? I'm trusting y'all are with me. Here we go. Two stories that close Acts 9. As Peter traveled about the country, he visited the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There it is. There he found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your mat, and immediately he gets up. All those who lived in Lydda and Charon saw him and turned to the Lord. We get healing and people come to faith. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible, this is for those who've read the Bible. Does that sound like a story that you might know of about Jesus? Yes. Yes, good, good. I had to make sure I cited it correctly. Jesus heals a paralyzed man in Matthew 9. He says, you're healed, pick up your mat and walk. Now the disciples are doing what they saw Jesus do in the power of the living God. And it says, all the people in those towns come to faith. Homework assignment, try this one this week. See what happens. Followers of Jesus do what Jesus does. Let's keep going. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Man, what if that was your description of your life? Always doing good and helping the poor. What a beautiful declaration of a woman of faith in the scriptures. Wow. Okay, maybe that's our homework. Putting this into practice. Let's live like Tabitha, aka Dorcas. About the time she became sick and died. Like, what? Yeah, it's part of the story. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, please come at once. Peter went with them. Long story short, he says, raised to life in Jesus' name. And she's brought back to life. Homework assignment. Some of y'all are like, I don't know, Kurt. You had me, maybe somebody paralyzed. She comes back to life. Now, here's what blew my mind as I read the scriptures. Guys, it's so good. You've got to read it. I'd be curious what blows your mind. Here we go. Tabitha, get up. She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand, helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. Confirmed in community, this became known all over Joppa. I bet so. And many people believed in the Lord. And many people believed in the Lord. Somebody who's paralyzed for 8 years gets healed. It says all of them believed. Then somebody who's raised back from the dead to life, it says many believed. But how many of you struggle to believe this could happen today? There were probably people struggling to believe then, which is why they couldn't believe. Jesus raises his friend Lazarus back from the dead. Jesus raised to life. Followers of Jesus do the things Jesus does and is still doing today because God is alive and on the move. Then we get to chapter 10 because this movement of God with Peter takes him, let's go back to the map real quick. Boom. Jerusalem to Lydda to Joppa. In Joppa, Peter is staying with a guy named Simon the Tanner. How would you like that to be your name? This is the movement. He starts in Jerusalem. He's moved to Lydda. Good things happen. God's on the move there. Moves to Joppa. Good things happen there. And now God is speaking to a man in Caesarea, and that's where we pick it up in chapter 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. This means he is a Gentile. In the Bible story, you have Jews and you have Gentiles. God is moving through Jews, speaking his life through his people, and now you have Gentiles. What do we get? Two people groups. Do we have multiple people groups in our lives and world as we understand them? The answer is yes. There's lots of people groups. You can divide any room into different people groups. We need to pay attention. this man, Cornelius, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. He has an encounter with God. An angel comes to him and says, you need to reach out to Peter, who's with Simon the Tanner, and he has something to say to you. Awesome. Then the next day, God reveals himself in a vision, a time of prayer to Peter, and he begins to do this work of dealing with Peter's boundary lines for who God is and how God operates. You got to go read it. For sake of time today, you now have more homework. You're supposed to pray for paralyzed people, raise dead people to life, and read Acts 8, 9, and 10. You're like, I'm never coming back to this church. Jeez, this guy believes the Bible. God is moving. He is encountering. And let me just tell you, Peter is like the real Christian of the bunch, right? He's just prayed for someone who was paralyzed, gets up and walks, prays for a woman who's dead, comes back to life. You would think he would have his faith square. I just want you to notice this. In Acts 10, there's this moment. God reveals himself to Peter in a vision. These animals coming out of heaven on a cloth. It's kind of wild. Stretches my imagination. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord. If you're ever having a vision and an angel comes to you, just notice where you tell the angel how things work, okay? That's what Peter's doing. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied, I have never eaten anything impure or unclean, as though our purity and cleanliness depend on us. Full stop. I'm the real godly one, God. Y'all hear how that works? I'm the real godly one, God. Surely not you speaking to me. The voice spoke to him in a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times. Peter's having a hard time. Peter works in threes, denies God three times, is restored three times, questioned God three times. So if you ever struggle with doubt, you're in good company. The Bible is full of people curious and wondering and going, God, how can this be? So as we keep reading the story, he begins to move. Peter surrenders to God's will and moves. Shows up at Cornelius' house. Cornelius is called a party. He is called family. He is called the community. Peter's traveling with other believers from that area. It is a whole thing. It's kind of like a crowd of people like we have this morning. How kind is God to look into a room, to just notice like all these people showed up. God is moving. God is speaking to you and drawing you to himself. God is calling us to our city. God is on the move. And here's what I want you to know. If God is on the move, here's where we need to understand our part. We all need transformation. Every one of us need more transformation than we currently have. Peter, the apostle, the godly one, traveling around, seeing miraculous things happening, doing what Jesus does, needs transformation. Cornelius, a devout follower of God who gives to the poor, is about to experience more transformation in his God story. God has walked with him to a point he's going to go further. Peter had walked all this way with God. He's about to go further. You are being invited to have God lead you further so your life is more full of his story. Your life is more full of his peace. Your life is more full of his presence. Are you ready to move if God is moving? Are we ready to move with God? There's this moment where Peter gets to Cornelius' house. Him and some of the believers from Joppa go along. Now I'm looking at kind of verses 23, 24, 27. The thing that you'll see if you go read this is there's humility. These are guys spending their day praying to God and asking and expecting God to speak to them. Humility. Middle of the week. Anybody in the workplace during the middle of the week? Man, pray. Expect God to meet you and lead you before you step into that meeting, before you make that phone call. Anybody trying to keep the house on the rails this summer? Just don't. Like, let it come off. It's already off the rails. Embrace it. But cry out to God and expect God to meet and speak to you as the adult. And don't be surprised when God's speaking to the kids, meeting them. See, God is on the move, and I need transformation. Right now, I mean, this morning I spent time praying. I just took a picture of the sky. It was beautiful. Couldn't have done that. And I'm just aware that God is like needing to do deeper work in me. I need transformation, and so do you. That's what this whole story is about, a devout, God-fearing person who gives to the poor is looking and willing to have God do more. An apostle who's traveling around seeing miracles is in God's presence saying, "Surely not, Lord. You raise people back to life. People who don't walk start walking because of your goodness and your power." He needed transformation. So he goes to Cornelius' house and he preaches a sermon. And here's what happens. Then Peter began to speak. This is Acts 10, verse 34. I just want you to know where I'm moving. I'm trying to move quickly today. Y'all are doing a great job following me. I appreciate it. Then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." Think about this. Peter is waking up. Lord of all means all. In Acts 1, Jesus tells him, "You will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to the nations." In Acts 10, he finally realizes it includes the Gentiles, which for most of us is the best news we could hear on this morning. You're included. But it took Peter from Acts 1 to Acts 10 to wake up and realize God was going to reach the Gentiles too. Is that just like crazy to me? Hold on, it gets better, I think. At least for me. Like, I think it gets better. You should go read it and you can decide for yourself. "You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil." There is the opposition, because God was with him. "We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." Let that explode your brain. "He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. We will stand before God in his goodness and faithfulness and his power and glory." Do you know him? Do you know the good news that's being preached by Peter? All the prophets, that means all the Old Testament books, point and testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. We are forgiven and free. We are whole because of who God is and his name and his authority and his resurrection life. That is the faith story you're being called into. It's not just a story to believe. How many of you believe the sky is blue? How many of you are colorblind? This is a silly thing, but this is my brain. I go, "I believe the sky is blue. Every day I wake up, I believe the sky is blue." It has no bearing on my transformation. Zero. My behaviors and my actions and my eternity do not find their life on my belief in something that is true. They find their life in a God who is living and rescuing and redeeming and reaching and leading me into an obedience of his life. It's not enough just to believe in God, "I believe the sky is blue," but to surrender my life to the living God and be transformed. And not just at church when a guy gets excited on a mic and he sounds real loud because we've got amplification. And he starts doing that because he's fired up and he doesn't know what else to do. but because we read about the faithfulness of God and listen to this. Jesus, you know, Peter preaches. And I'll tell you nothing more. I would love for what we're about to read to be true in this room, and I don't get to determine that. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them a few days to figure out what in the world just happened. Devout, God-fearing, miracles. But as the good news of Jesus is proclaimed, there is an outpouring of God Himself, the Holy Spirit, on willing hearts and minds. Have you experienced that? Are you willing to experience it for the first time like Cornelius? Or again, fresh and new in a season of letting God come and have authority, letting God wash over your mind, letting God renew your heart, being filled with God Himself. We all need transformation. Let's just stop pretending like we've got it figured out. That's why the world is kind of not so happy with the church. Because it's a mess. But we're God's mess. He's the judge of the living and the dead. I am not. He's the one who was raised to life and is raising me to life. He is the one who is enthroned on high. And I need to yield and surrender. And as Pastor Kevin said last week, we need to, I'm going to see if I can do this from memory. We receive. Hold on. We surrender and we carry. Is that close? Yeah, I got it. He's in the room. There's no kind of like fib in that one. The guy's in the room. We receive, we surrender, and we carry. The reason we do baptism is because we do the things Jesus does. The reason we do baptism is because we see it in the scriptures of the early church. The reason we pray for the Holy Spirit to fall is because it falls on believers before baptism, apparently, and after. What do you need in your story of transformation? In this story, there's something really powerful that we cannot miss. Cornelius needed somebody else to speak into his faith story. Peter needed other parts of the story of God to help him with his. You are the one who needs to receive discipleship to Jesus from another believer. That's Cornelius. We are all Cornelius in the story. We need to hear more about who God is from somebody who knows more than we know. And we are all Peter. We are all being sent by God to someone that God loves to communicate what we know about Jesus Christ. God is on the move. We all need transformation. We all need to receive more than we have on our own. And we all need to be ready to share because God wants to send you to people He will reach because you're on the move with God. And the real question is, are you willing? Don't just believe the sky is blue and let it not touch your life. If you believe in Jesus, begin to say, God, I am willing to let you have access to my life in ways that are new, in ways I don't get. I'm going to need help. And so what we're going to do is we're going to close our service by singing one more song. I'm going to invite our team to come. And I think there's like a real response for people in the room in ways that is different. If Cornelius had just been like, hey, God, I'm God-fearing, I give to the poor, I'm good, he misses out. If Peter was like, look, I don't eat anything unclean, I'm not going to that guy, he misses out. If we just sit in our comfort zone and we tell God, I'm good, we miss out. So where is God already speaking to you? Where is God already moving in your life? I think for some of us, we actually need to get up and move today. So in church, there's this practice called an altar call. An altar is a place of surrendering to God because you are not. And we're going to just make room down here. You can just come. nobody has to talk to you, interact with you. I get it. But like, you might need to actually move from your comfortable chair, and praise God they're comfortable because I've been going a long time. And you might need to respond in worship by going, God, this is a picture of what you're doing in my life. I'm willing to move with you. Just come worship down here. Let's go ahead and stand together as a community. This is to let you know I'm real close. Man, y'all were troopers today. I felt like I was moving. I kind of sprinted. Go read Acts 8, 9, and 10. Check it out. Decide for yourself what God is saying there. I'm going to ask, we have prayer ministry teams. If y'all would do me a favor, if you're part of our prayer ministry teams, go ahead and come first. I'm going to show you what it looks like to move from your seat. Y'all come down front. This is modeling. This is how discipleship grows. We show. They're moving. These are all people who are willing to pray with you if you need prayer. I need healing. I need hope. I'm alone. I need to believe God would speak to me. But what I'm going to do now, y'all see them? They're actually going to, I'm going to ask y'all to do the next thing is just to stretch around a little bit. And then if y'all would stand by the communion station in the back, we're going to make a prayer station there. Would y'all stand by the communion station there in the back? See, they keep moving. Like, I don't know. They're just like, this is willingness. They're just willing and kind. So there's going to be prayer people at the communion stations in the back and down front. If you need prayer, go grab them as we sing. But genuinely, here's the deal. Why is baptism a big deal? Because God is real and he does stuff. But when we partner with God and we actually are willing to move, it's a picture of surrender. And some of you just need to say, God, I have been comfortable with you and I'm willing to let you move me. And so you can come explore the space down here. You can let somebody pray with you. And maybe you came with a friend. Remember that last piece? Don't do this alone. That's not the story of God. Tell someone what God is saying to you and let them encourage you. Share it with someone. So God, we just say right now, would you pour out your spirit on this place? Would you come in power? Even now, just some of you, just you know you're going to respond in worship. Just go ahead and come. God, I pray that you would break fear and comfort off of us. These are idols we unknowingly bow to when we're actually being asked to move beyond ourselves, to surrender to you, to receive from you. And so we pray, God, as we sing this last song, let it be an anthem of our hearts that we long to see more of you in this of your kingdom come. We long to see more of your presence and your power. We want to do the things Jesus did. God, you are on the move. Show us how to participate with you.